I started to wonder if wisdom, if we try and do anything about it, is that the very thing that takes us away from it?
Welcome to Your Life But Easier. Sydney Banks stated, all feelings derive and become alive, whether negative or positive, from the power of thought. Having that deep realization will carry you through life, leaving you to feel calmer and more at ease, whatever life throws at you. It is so simple, yet so complex. This podcast will support you to see yourself differently. The life you are living, the body you live in, and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Each week, I offer an insight that will help you to see yourself with more understanding, kindness, and love. There's nothing to do but to see that the answer to an easier life is right in front of you. It is your life, but easier. Have fun listening. Hello and welcome. We're back again with the first podcast of the year. I took a little break and I look forward to start a new series for the year. And my first and special guest today is Brett Chitty. Not sure if I say that correct. And like I always like to do, I like Brett to introduce himself. I know Brett. I met him first in, I think it was 2014 or 15, when Enros organized a retreat in London with Keith Blevins, which was a really, and we had Valda Monroe as well on Zoom. And it was a really, really wonderful, wonderful 2 or 3 day meeting, not really, 2 or 3 days, wasn't it? Yes, it was fantastic. And we had different people from different backgrounds in the room. We had Jewish people, we had Muslims, we had Christians, and we all met in a monastery. In the beginning, there were differences, and in the end, we were all sitting together in a circle, and there were hugs and love was shared in the end. It was just beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. And that's where I met Brett. And then I saw him again and again, because he did and does a lot of work with Keith Blevins. And he, not long ago, in a course we attended both last year, well, you were doing the background work there, and I was attending the scientific psychology of the future last year, a 6 month program with Keith and Omar. And in the end, Brett came out, I think it was the last session, with an insight which hit us all. And that's why I invited Brett here today, to have a conversation with you about your wonderful, wonderful insights. It just brings my goosebumps up. Really, it was really wonderful. In one way, simplifying the principles once more, but we come to that in a minute. And now I first of all would like you to say to you, because I couldn't find really much on your website, nothing actually about you. And I have the feeling somehow you did that on purpose, that you didn't write anything about yourself. So I give it over to you, Brett. And please tell us a little bit about you, your background, and whatever you want to share with the people out there.
Well, thank you, Paola. First of all, for inviting me to your podcast, it's a privilege to be here. And as you say, we've met each other coming up to nearly 10 years now. Wow. And it's been an incredible journey since then. It started along the way, making friendships, new connections, enjoying what other people have to offer, enriching our lives. I had no idea that was on offer. So thank you, Paola, for being a part of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Regarding my background, I was born profoundly deaf. I started off wearing hearing aids, which would shift about powerful enough for me to hear my own speech, which is why my speech isn't too bad. And then 20 years ago, I had a problem with one of my ears, even though it wasn't very good at the time. So I had a implant put in, a cochlear implant. And so the deaf where I am now, I have a cochlear implant that allows me to hear. It's also given me the ability to have selective listening because I can take my implant off and I cannot hear a thing, which can be quite
Which can be
advantageous at
quite
times.
practical.
Yeah, so and I've been in the principal since 2011, and the first 4 years have been difficult, I would say, because everybody was saying, here's what the three principals are, and I just couldn't get it. Unfortunately, there were also times when I thought I got it when I never really did, but I somehow persevered, hoping that I would get a genuine insight one day. And it happened in the most unexpected of times and ways and circumstances. And here I am. I'm now sharing the three principles with others, hopefully making their lives a little bit better.
What do you think was your biggest insight then when you say, you were waiting for your big insight? What was it?
This is where it might get a little bit confrontational, but I would say that my biggest insight is one that had absolutely nothing in it. It was this state of no thought that was so profound, and I completely underestimated what that meant until I had the experience of it. Then about a couple of seconds after that, something came to mind, which was, here's a bit about the nature of thought, here's a bit about the principle of mind, here's a bit about the principle of consciousness, how it all connect together, how we function. And I'm like, it's not that simple, is it? But it turned out to be simpler than I ever imagined it to be. At first, I didn't quite know how to make sense of it. It was so new, but fortunately, I stayed open enough to explore what it meant for me and the implications it had for my life as well as others. And I saw quite a few implications, and those implications gave me a quieter mind, a more peaceful life. I'm nowhere near as reactive as I was before. I don't give myself the self-responsibility of thinking as much as I used to. I don't give myself as much self-responsibility to think.
What do you mean with that?
Because I realize the presence of wisdom or the knowledge behind everything, the intelligence behind everything. I had a choice. Do I use the wisdom or do I use what I know, my thinking? And it's not a contest anymore. Okay. Because I knew my wisdom will show me far more than what I knew up to that point. So I didn't need to think anymore. I had a belief, which was, if I don't think, I won't be intelligent. It's as if thinking is required in order to learn something, in order to make sense of something, in order to bring things to harmony. But once I realized the presence of wisdom, it was like there's another intelligence that could take on the heavy lifting for me instead of me having to do it for myself. So it's like, okay. So at that point, I became somehow more connected to wisdom than ever before. And it's from that wisdom that was telling me something about those three principles. Though I cannot take any credit for what I share about the three principles, it came from wisdom. And that stopped me from telling other people, this is what mind is, this is what thought is, this is what consciousness is, because they've got that same wisdom. So why not bring out other people's wisdom for them to realize the principles in their own way, instead of me being the expert on the principles when I didn't need to be? So it was so much nicer, so much lighter. And I seem to think that what I'm sharing at the moment seemed to go a little bit further than what I was able to previously.
Now I'm somehow getting this question coming up for people who hear about that, you know, in our interview the first time, or they're just new to that, and they probably ask themselves, how do I enter that state of wisdom?
Okay, that's a great question. I think it that kind of question highlights that they know there's something more than what they know. So, and this is just my own personal take on how do I enter the state of wisdom. So we have the principle. We have a principle of thought. I think it is important that we do what we can to keep the principle of thought neutral, meaning it has no ability of its own to decide or determine what experiences we're going to have. Okay, therefore, that tells me something must be going into the principle of thought, right? Which explains why Sidney Banks used terms like it happened through thought, what happened via thought. There's something coming into thought, and thought takes what went into it and transforms it into an experience, a feeling, or what you see or what you hear. Okay, but that's interesting alone because I used to think what I see is out there, but now I realize what I see is actually happening in mind, not outside of mind. Okay, so we have something going into the principle of thought, and thought creates the form, feeling, experiences, state of mind, behavior, you name it. Okay, so if it's true that everybody gets to experience thought in every moment, no matter what experiences they're having, like they're having a really beautiful experience, lots of love in their lives, connection with other people. And there are also people who are having a very difficult time, like mental sicknesses, depression, anger, stress, all of that kind of thing. So the idea that the principle of thought accounts for all experience wasn't good enough for me. Because I wanted to know what was it that made a person have a nice life, and what would it made somebody else have a much more difficult life. So I had a missing ingredient somewhere there, even though I knew it was all that. So I explored it a bit further, a little bit deeper, to see what was there. And it turned out that people who live in wisdom are quite ordinary. I remember asking a dear friend of mine. She's very resilient. She's a parent and she had a couple of autistic children. Okay, so I asked her. She told me of the story that she had to go through with her children. So I was like, wow, how do you do that? Right? And she said, I don't know, I just do. So I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not what she's saying, it's what she isn't saying. So I heard that she's not thinking about this. She's not thinking how to be resilient. She's not trying to be resilient. She's not using willpower to be resilient, that kind of thing. So that was a different message. So I was very grateful to hear it because it exposed the possibility of being resilient without doing anything about it. But at the same time, she had wisdom as well. So I'm like, how do you get to wisdom? But then I saw my own question didn't make sense. She's not doing anything to get to wisdom. It just happened for her. So I started to wonder, if wisdom, if we try and do anything about it, is that the very thing that takes us away from it? I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So again, a very different idea. I can imagine well-known psychologists who write lots of articles and publications. They come up with a whole list of things to do to be in wisdom or to be resilient, that kind of thing. And we're saying something different. So looking at the connection between something going into thought and then creating the form in which we go through, I realize there's only one difference. When you have the principle of thought and you're aware, not thinking, if you kind of look inside and you know it's there, right, then that means the principles have the power. You realize the principles are what's given you the experience. Okay. But if you go through life having no awareness of these principles, you don't know it's there, or whatever you might call that, then it looks like here's the form, here's the feeling, here's an experience that we're having, right? And there's no principle to tell us. If the principle that given us the experience, then the experience we're having, we would then have to attribute those feelings to something in the physical, something out there, outside of us. So now at that point, we say, you are what determining how I feel. The circumstances is determining how I'm experiencing it. What I see over there determining how I see things. Okay, so now at that point, we're living at the mercy of what's outside of us. Okay, so here's the difference, right? When you have a principle, the form has no power and therefore it doesn't capture our mind to think. Right? But when we say the principle, that's what connects us to wisdom and stop us from making something of the forms that we go through. Right? So that's essentially the key difference here. Principles, the forms have no power. When you don't have principles, we give the form the power to determine how we think. And the main effect of the two differences is that when the form has the power, we lose our common sense. We don't think as well. We're not as wise as we could be. But when we see the principles, that means the form doesn't have power, and therefore we give it to wisdom, we give it to a higher intelligence, and therefore we live with more wisely, creating a nicer life.
So beautiful, eh? So beautiful. I was just thinking of an example. I was speaking to my husband, I think you haven't met him, Ellen, this morning, and he was telling me about a radio program yesterday he listened to on Radio 4, where they were discussing the influence of of the internet and how it is a bad influence for youngsters, for teenagers. It was very sad. There was one woman, and sadly, her daughter, she took her own life because of stuff happening on the internet. I don't know exactly the details. And so we just started the conversation, and his question is really, how do you bring it across in the most simplest way without offending someone in their sadness? You know, so 10 years later, she's still the mom, is very, very sad, very understandable. And of course, with the knowledge we have, when we don't know what we know, then you make responsible what you just said, the outside world, people, circumstances, events, an internet, a computer, for the way you feel, their consequences out of this. How do you explain that in the most simplistic way without, without offending someone, being compassionate, loving, and kind? Because I really love the way you talk about the principles and the simplicity. You know, like recently I started doing podcasts on Inside Timer in German, and the feedback was very different from different people. Some people said, oh, you know, this is really simplistic and I really like it. And the other person said, you know, this is far too complicated. You know, so when we speak to one person, it is completely clear. How can we keep it as simple as possible for people?
First of all, compassion is so important. I have to be able to understand what other people are going through. But don't let that affect you either. Okay. So for me, I think there are two directions here, right? The first direction is we can talk about what the mother is going through, right? All the negativity, all the judgments, what should have happened, well, I don't have my children with me anymore, that kind of thing. But for me, that's what I call the world of form. It's going to sound cold, I know that, but the problem is when we start going into the world of form, all the details of what we go through in our lives, right? That's when our ability to be wise, to have common sense, is compromised, right? And in such a sensitive situation as the mother is going through, it's probably the last thing we want, right? On the other hand, though, we could say things like, I'm sorry you're having a very difficult time. I mean, it is difficult. And they're trying to make sense of it with the best of what they know how. But when I'm having a conversation with someone, I make it very clear, as best as I can, that if we're going to have a principled conversation, it's going to be only about the principles. Right? And not about the details of what you're going through in your life. Right? Again, I'm not saying that Tuesday, or the detail doesn't matter. Who cares about it? I'm not saying that at all. Right? The main reason for it is that when we look at the principles on their own and without bringing in the details of our lives, right? And then we have an insight into mind, or insight into thought, or insight into consciousness, or all three as if it were one. If we have an insight into the nature of the human experience, that's going to lead to a greater understanding of what you are going through in your life. Right? So if you imagine somebody going through a situation at the moment, this is how they see things as it is at the moment, right? And it looks like it fits because the situation is not changing. When the situation doesn't change, how you see it doesn't change either. But when you look at the principles on their own, your understanding of thought or the principle changes would mean your ability to connect to wisdom is growing. It gets stronger, it gets more obvious, it becomes more of a presence in your life. And because that's now become a you baseline, a you foundation in which for you to understand what's going through in your life, then when you go back to the details, you realize, oh, I'm seeing things differently now. Okay? So we're using the principle to help them to learn about their own mind, that they can see like differently. If we talk about the details, what generally tend to happen is that they think about it more and more and more. It becomes more of a burden on their shoulders, and that's not what we want for them. And innocently, they don't think that's going to happen, but when they realize that's what happened, it doesn't make as much sense to them. So I invite people, let's take a look at the principles, have it elevate our way of seeing, our way of experiencing, our feeling. And then we come back to life and say, oh, this is different. So the principles is the way to upgrade your understanding of what's going on in your life.
Let's bring that example, what you recently wrote in a book written by Sydney Banks. He is who had the big insight into the principles. Just let's leave it to that. And it's actually this year his 50th anniversary of the principles, really. And he always said, you know, it's not about me, it's about the principles. And it really is in one of his books he wrote, and you just wrote that to us in a recent email. He was explaining it with algebra. So, to really understand the fundamentals of algebra, of math, you need to understand the foundation of how it really works, you know. So, you need to have this, the equation, and when you understand how it works, then you understand everything in math, right? And that's the same with the principles. When you understand, and that is what you mean, Brad, just to say, when we have the fundamentals of how we psychologically function through the principles of universal mind, thought, and consciousness, the neutrality of it, like I like to say it, because it's all neutral, then you see life in a completely different way, and you get more into the state of a quiet mind. Like, actually, I saw today the quiet mind is the name of your website as well. So for
It
people
is, yeah.
just to know. Is there anything you would like to add, Brent?
I would encourage people to take a look at these principles. I have a great quote from Steve, which you get a piece of paper from them. I don't know which writing it came from, but it's a quote from Steve. He said, it is from the use of these principles that we can acknowledge the existence of this physical world. I ask you to look at the principles very carefully, and you will see without them This world you live in would not exist. So if you have an insight into the principles, then you're going to see the physical world in a way you've never seen it before. So that's my encouragement to you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brad, for having you here in the podcast. And I look forward to maybe even have another conversation at some time. Thank you.
Thank you, Pearl, for having me here. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to share the company with you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave me a comment or pass it on to a friend or family member to help to make a difference to their life. And if you want more support, get in touch, read my book, join my membership group, or if you want personal support, you find all the links below, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.